Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWFinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Thursday afternoon from the Chateau. Yes, we took the act on the road yesterday to the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Kevin and I had a great time. You had a great time.
Oh, I absolutely had a ball. It was most fun I've had playing golf in a long time. Of course, and I haven't played golf in a long time, so you know the bar was set really low anyway.
We finished third in our flight, by the way.
I'm still not sure how that happened.
And not only that, but the crushing blow that you did not get closest to the line. Yeah. It was crushing.
It hurts. It hurts.
I mean, it should have hurt. Because, and I knew when I was driving out, because the marker was so much further down the fairway, I knew it wasn't yours anymore.
I was going to say far doesn't matter, but I get what you're saying, yeah.
Well, that was the indicator.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't me when it was that far down the fairway. However, just keep in mind, I did make the birdie putt that got us into that position.
Yes, you did, as a matter of fact.
I want that duly noted. Thank you very much.
Yes, and then, of course, obviously, the injuries that occurred when we tried to carry you off the green. But that's once again, the Sunbury Broadcasting does have, I should point out, great insurance. All right, we are here at the Chateau. It's great to see Tom and everybody from Sunbury Motors yesterday. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And, of course, I drove right by the beautiful Sunbury Motors Kia location on Routes 11 and 15 yesterday in Hummel's Wharf, and we're being brought to you by, and it was great to meet him last week too, Rick Weibel from Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call Rick at 800-609-9484. He will take very good care of you. You can always visit online at REWFinancial.com. Oh, great day yesterday, and I want to get to the Phillies here for a moment. I want to go back and revisit the Phillies. We talked on the show extensively about Kyle Kendrick yesterday and moving into the bullpen. Now, Cliff Lee, I thought, pitched 6 good innings last night in his comeback.
Yeah, he looked solid, looked comfortable, everything looked good, and just like the last 3 nights, everything fell apart once they went to the bullpen.
Exactly, and the irony is that Cliff Lee has not won a start this year. The Phillies have not won a game that he has started.
That's scary.
They haven't won a game he started.
That's just scary.
I mean, that is remarkable. I mean, that's remarkable that's happened so far. They have to do, you know, the problem is they're trying to fill. I want to go back to what I talked yesterday about, the fact that the Phillies have tried to build a farm system. And I'll be honest with you, Kevin. I watched their Williamsport team every summer. And before that, the one season they were in Batavia. I like how they've drafted. And for whatever reason, it's not translating.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with as they move up and get into AAA ball, and even Redding and Lehigh Valley, Redding at AA ball, they start to get traded for, you know, the now. And I said this yesterday, and we talked about it the last week as well. The now trading is you're seeing the repercussions of it. You're seeing
Kevin,
it now.
But again, I will always go back to, I would rather trade for the now if I have a shot. If I have a shot, I trade for the now, especially if I think I have a really good shot.
But I think the question that a lot of Phillies fans are asking is, all right, it was great, the win in 08, worth it. Now, the last several years since then, was it worth it to play for the now? Did you get what you wanted?
Well, the last few years they haven't achieved what fans wanted.
Right.
But if you were to say this is the pattern that was going to happen, would you trade away 08?
And that's the other thing I was going to
say.
Would you have traded away 08 to get to this? Yeah, I agree with you there.
Never would. The entire point is to win. I can tell you as a Red Sox fan, all right, they went 86 years. 86 years.
You would have traded away anything.
Right? I mean, believe me, we have. No.
History's proven that.
But when they won in 04, every move they made, I'll be honest with you, After that, I didn't care what happened in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Because they won. Well, it turned out they came back and won again at 7. And they did a great job of transforming the roster to come back and win in 7. So they picked up two last decade. I mean, they were, you know, you can argue the Red Sox were the best team in Major League Baseball in the opening decade of the new century because they were the only one that won two World Series. That's great because, and believe me, I wouldn't have sat there and said, well, you know, you got to make this move and that, you know, you got to think about the future. It's like, hey, the heck with the future. Who knows what the future holds? I mean, a year ago, I wasn't here with you. Seriously.
No, that's true.
You know, I mean, you don't know at times what, you know, when you start, well, you know, a year ago, I'm not thinking about being here, right? Now I'm here, and it's the best local radio move of my life. I mean, easily.
Well, let me ask you about the Yankees.
I mean, I should have pulled him aside yesterday and said, how come we didn't do this years ago? I mean, I was like, oh, come on, man.
But let me ask you about the Yankees. How do the Yankees do what they've done so well year after year? I mean, they do it with free agency, and they pick up the right guys. But it seems that they have one or two guys still come in and fill those voids and still stay competitive. The Phillies haven't had those one or two guys fill the voids, especially this year, and stayed competitive.
But the Phillies have been competitive.
They have been.
Let's not go off the deep edge yet because this season has started rugged.
Right. Now, I don't mean it to sound that
way. Okay. We are talking about a team that in 8 won it, in 9 was in the World Series, didn't win it, was in the LCS, didn't win it, in 10, in Division Series. So, I mean, they've been a playoff team. They haven't been missing the playoffs. Right? They have not been missing the playoffs. They've been in. They've just taken a step back every year. So you're wondering if a little erosion has happened over time to what is a marquee franchise. That may be a little older in the tooth, not as easy to get over injuries. You know, farm system traded like you've talked about. All right. Okay. That's what we're talking about here. Now, let's point out, in the last 10 years, Kevin, the Phillies have won as many World Series as the Yankees.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. Let's remember that, okay? This is not the 90s when the Yankees were, you know, reloading and getting it done and winning championships. They've won one since the new century started. Okay? One. And the Phillies have won one. There's only been one franchise that's won, you know, there's only two franchises that have won twice since, the Cardinals and the Red Sox, the only two that have done it twice. And so I wouldn't quite hit the panic button. What we're seeing is this. There has been a slight erosion each year the last few years. If the erosion continues in this season, they have to make an evaluation by about the 4th of July. And again, I revised it. Yesterday we talked about this. I revised it.
I'm glad. I was getting nervous with the original.
No, you were correct, though. You're right about that. I had to revise that. And the reason I did was I think they need more time to properly evaluate where they are. You know, where's Ryan Howard? You don't expect the Howard injury to happen the way it happened last year. That's out of the blue. That's why you can't predict the future sometimes. And with Utley, you've seen an erosion in his numbers over the years. So they have to evaluate, no question, about where they're going and what they're doing. Now, let's, for the moment, shift topics to another group, different level, different sport, that I don't think has to reevaluate anything because they are in a different plane. That's the Lady Lion basketball program. I want to get to them for a moment. You know, we talked about the Phillies, a step back each year, so even though they're right there, competitive, playoff team and so forth, they've had that slight erosion each year. On the opposite end is the Lady Lion basketball program. We're going to talk to Coquise Washington in a few moments. Kevin? What they've done is ever since she took over the program, they have made a step forward in each of the last 3 years. It's been impressive to watch.
And that's why the panic when the news conference was called and no one knew what it was about. That's why the panic happened.
Oh, and absolutely, because she's done so well with the program. Well, I had a chance to sit down with Lady Lion basketball coach Coquise Washington, who now makes her initial interview debut on WKOK. And thrilled to sit down and talk with her about the program, where it is now, and where it is going.
WNIT 2 years ago, last year, second round, this year, Sweet 16. Just the pure progress. I'm sure in your mind you thought, I'd like to be here at this point. Do you like where you are?
I absolutely love where we are. It's gone fast. The 5 years, has gone fast. I feel like just a few days ago I was holding up that number one jersey and just arrived. But, our staff, our players have put in a lot of work to elevate the program, and I love where we are. You know, we're a top 10 program. I think we're one of a handful of teams that can truly contend for a national championship. And so I love being in that position.
I mean, you and I both know that there's a chasm between the top teams and then the next tier. Mm-hmm. The fact that you've made it out of that group into the top tier that can contend, what does that tell you about the kind of kids you have?
Well, they're competitive. Yeah. And that's one of the things that we looked for when we were recruiting, is we needed kids who were competitive, who wanted to take the challenge of elevating our program from really being an also-ran to having a, kind of a little bit of a presence to, now being, a very nationally prominent program. And you need kids that have that chip on their shoulder that they want to fight through to get to break through into that realm.
And the next part is you also want to have a kid that when they finally get the target on them, they respond and love it.
Right.
When you look at your kids, they love having that target, that they are now the ones that people want, and they say, "Oh yeah, it's fine, come and get us."
Well, honestly, they're learning that.
Okay.
Because it is fun being the underdog.
Yes.
It's fun being the underdog. It's fun being the giant slayer.
Yeah.
So I think learning how to be the hunted, it's a learning process.
Yeah.
But once you get to that point, then, like a Kobe Bryant, like a Michael Jordan, you embrace being the hunted. And so we're still learning how to embrace being the hunted.
You had to make over the roster because no matter what anybody did and how successful they were, you still have to do it your own way.
Mm-hmm.
Did that process go as quickly as you thought it would in terms of making the roster over in the image you wanted it to be?
Absolutely. It went fairly quickly. Our first two recruiting classes, we got the kind of kids in that would take the challenge and wanted to be a part of rebuilding a program. And, that class was Zsa Zsa, who just graduated. And then our big class, the five rising seniors we have with Alex Bentley, Nikki Green, Marissa Wolf, Mia Nixon, and Giselle Studebaker. I mean, those guys are the core of our team, and not to take anything away from the others, but those guys really set the table. I mean, those guys came in their freshman year, we went to the NIT. Their sophomore year, we made it to the, the second round. Their junior year, we made it to the Sweet 16. So they've been really the class that's been the catalyst of the change.
Leadership shows itself in a lot of ways. One of them is in the off season when you can't do as much work with them. When you look at the caliber of leader on your team, how confident are you that when you go to camp or when you get your initial looks at them in the fall, that they'll be ready?
I'm extremely confident. Based on what we did last year, every single person came back better. And I think they're even more determined this year to continue the progress and to continue the upswing. When you talk about Maggie Lucas and Alex Bentley and Mia Nixon, those guys are guys that their competitive fire is so high that they're not gonna do anything other than come back prepared to make a great run.
When you walk into a locker room, into a living room, and it's Penn State Lady Lions, what is the reaction now?
The reaction now is, we know a lot about Penn State.
Yeah.
We've watched you on TV. We love your style of play.
Yeah.
5 years ago, 4 years ago, we were introducing Penn State to a lot of people, Penn State Lady Lion basketball. And now we don't have to introduce ourselves. We just, have to make that connection, and that's a really good position to be in.
Kevin, I love her refreshing honesty.
That's what I was thinking as I was listening to it, how just direct she is with everything.
How often do you encounter a coach and you talk about you've gone from being the hunter to the hunted, and they go, "Oh, yeah, we embrace it." She says, "I'm not sure yet. We have to see. It's been great being the one that's going out being the underdog." I thought that was a very interesting answer she gave there.
I also like that, we've seen you on TV. I like that one, too.
That makes a big difference, and that's where the Big Ten Network comes into play. And that's a perfect segue to our next topic. When we come back, we'll talk about the brand new ACC contract. The new ACC contract, which has been extended with ESPN through 2027, is worth $3.66 billion. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Our thanks to Coquise Washington, Guy Gadowski, for taking the time to talk with us here on the Steve Jones Show. And coming up in the next half hour after the news at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Patrick Chambers and then some guy named Kale Sanders.
Who?
On the show. Pulled him off. He was doing some janitorial work. I saw him over on campus, and I thought, you know, I'll talk to him, see how it's
going.
Seems
interesting.
Seems like an interesting dude. Seems to have some success. And doesn't look comfortable when he wears ties. So, we'll talk to Kale in just a few moments. I want to get to what we talked about before, and that's the television deal. Each Big Ten school, Kevin, between the ESPN, ABC, CBS, because remember, CBS does the Big Ten tournament as well as some select Big Ten basketball games, and ESPN and the Big Ten Network, those entities combined reap each Big Ten school approximately $21, $22 million per. And everything's pooled in. The Fox contract, for example, with the Big Ten football championship game. So each Big Ten school gets about $21, $22 million. Each SEC school, through what they get, gets approximately $20 to $22 million. Everybody else has been lagging behind. The ACC's done a pretty good job now. And now the extension through 2027 to $3.66 billion, each school in the ACC will now ramp up from $13 million per to $17 million per. And this supports athletic departments. There's been a big, big push about Title IX. A lot of stories about Title IX. Because how many years is this of Title IX now? 40 years of Title IX?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's 40 years of Title IX, there'll be a lot of stories about it. A lot of stories. Well, you can't pay for Title IX unless you get contracts like these. I mean, you have 20, you're going to have 31 sports at Penn State. Of the 31 sports, 28 make money. Actually, of the 31 sports, 28 don't make any money. Three do or will. Men's basketball, football, and probably men's ice hockey will make money. You need to find the cash from as many sources as possible because you want to know what the biggest budgetary roadblock athletics faces at Penn State every year, the biggest unknown.
Travel,
you know what that is?
I would guess travel costs.
No. How much the tuition increase is going to be.
Really?
Because remember, when you're doing scholarships,
right?
Who's paying for the scholarship?
No, I understand it.
Athletics pays the university, but athletics pays the university the scholarship. Hey, it's a budget transfer that has to take place. So if tuition goes up 2%, 4%, 6%, whatever it happens to be, they have to do that for 700 to 800 student athletes. And that's the biggest budget variable every year because that's the great unknown. They don't know every year until usually after the first week of July what it's going to be. That's where the money goes. And this contract that they have in, the East has never been able to take advantage of what they have. When you are fortunate to have the markets of Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, some of the largest markets in the country. I mean, Boston, New York, Philly, right there, you're talking about three of the top, what, eight markets in America right there?
Right.
Right there. And the East has never taken advantage of it. When the Big Ten did its first contract after Penn State came in, they redid contracts. The number leaped exponentially for everybody because Penn State could garner the Big Ten, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, New York as markets. They could do that. And Jim Delaney used that in negotiations, and they got a huge increase back in the 90s. Now, the ACC, to its credit, has been able to, even though it didn't seem like a great fit at the moment, but they can tell you they have Boston. Now they can tell you they have Pittsburgh. Now they can tell you they have Syracuse. The Pitt-Syracuse moves to the ACC just benefited Pitt and Syracuse exponentially beyond words. Once they are full partners in that conference, you know, they're going to see what they were getting before, which is probably about, I don't know, $4 to $6 million per. To get up to $17 million, they'll be able to do things they've never done before and to make sure that they help out as many student athletes as possible. Again, Title IX has done wonders across the country for women, and Title IX has done wonders across intercollegiate athletics because of the outstanding women's sports that we have and student athletes that we have that are getting better and better and better all the time and delivering greater products all the time. But always remember, we live in a world where you have to be able to pay for things. And these contracts, right? Well, look at all the money football brings in, all the money men's basketball brings in, because it goes to what we're talking about. All right, we'll come back. Final half hour of the show, Cale Sanderson, Patrick Chambers on WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the show. Final half hour of the show here on WKOK. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, we're at the Chateau today, and it was great to see Tom and Irving from Sunbury Motors yesterday out at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament that benefited our YMCA. And also, Sunbury Motors Kia drove right by the dealership yesterday in Hummel's Wharf on Routes 11 and 15. And today's show is being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Financial, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC can be contacted at 800-609-9484. That's 800-609-9484. And you can obviously go online at REWfinancial.com. That's REWfinancial.com. I know we can't say enough good things about Rick Weibel. Had a nice talk with Rick last week when I was at La Primavera. And Rick is a guy that will go the extra mile just for you. Always keep that in mind. We're proud to have Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, as our Thursday sponsor. And I think as the Thursday sponsor, I would hope he's very pleased that we've had Guy Gadowski and Coquise Washington on so far, and I think he wouldn't mind having Cale Sanderson and Patrick Chambers on in this segment. What do you think, Kevin?
You're going to have to raise the bar a little bit. It's just not good enough. You know.
My apologies. My apologies. One quick note before we get to Cale. You're talking about the television component of what the ACC did. The ACC is now given away the rights to sell their football championship and also men's basketball tournament because basically it's built into the contracts. Now ESPN's baby to sell.
It's a great deal because they don't have to go through the hassle to find somebody, do all the paperwork, write up all the contracts. They're going to get the money whether ESPN gets somebody or not. So they're not really worried about it. And they get the right of refusal, too. So if it's something they feel is not acceptable, they can say, no, sorry, guys, find somebody else.
Well, we're talking about television, and I'll tell you a sport that does not quite get its just due on television. That's wrestling. I think the NCAA wrestling championships are well covered. The Big Ten wrestling championships are well covered. But regular season wrestling does not get quite the coverage probably it deserves. And there's no doubt where the show is in college wrestling. The show in college wrestling is right here in our own backyard at Penn State. They've won the last two national championships. Other coaches, by the way, at Penn State are grumbling that Cale's now set the bar so high it's making it impossible for them to do their jobs.
talk about setting the bar. It's like, can you lighten up a little bit? Just one or 2 years?
I mean, I'm happy for you, but you're killing us. You're killing my job, I can tell you that. No, everyone's thrilled about what he does. And you know what I like about Cale Sanderson? Nothing is about Cale Sanderson. Nothing. You listen to the talk that he and I have here coming up. Pick out how many times he says I and me. How about never? He talks about everybody else. This guy who has accomplished everything. The number of times I've been around him, Kevin, he has no ego.
Well, and this is a guy you can say his name to anybody who even slightly knows wrestling, and they know exactly who you're talking about, and there's a pause for a moment. And there's, as you said, there's that thought in every parent's mind of a wrestler, oh, please come to my house someday.
Well, he sits down in the living room and the parents and the kids sit there and go, that's Cale Sanderson. That's who he is. And guess what? He is so unassuming and such a team player, you wouldn't know it in a million years. Well, I had a chance for a few minutes to sit down and talk with Cale Sanderson about his program and moving forward.
everything has, quote, gone so well. How do you feel this offseason about just everything, but then all the work that needs to take place to then make a new season happen?
Well, we're very happy and very fortunate to have the success that we've had, but it's, you know, we now have next year to look forward to and to prepare for, and every year brings its own set of challenges in one way or another. So, but I'm loving what I'm doing, and I'm very happy, and we have a lot of great people around us, and, you know, there's nothing that we can't get through.
There's several guys that obviously took their shot at going at the Olympic trials and so forth, and I think people don't realize that in the Olympics, it usually is an older wrestler, not a lot of collegiate wrestlers at that level. What can they get out of the experience that they went through of going to the trials like that that will benefit them down the road?
Yeah, our college kids went there for experience, really. I mean, you know, there's a long shot that they could win, but it's a different style. It's much different now with the scoring. It's not like they're not wrestling folk style, so it's definitely an experience. So they're that much more prepared in the next go round. I mean, 2016 is the year that David and Ed Ruth and Quentin and even Matt Brown and the other guys we have in our room that are really looking for.
Everywhere you go, you're the show. You go to Utah, they get 5,000 plus. Anytime you go on the road, you'll draw the biggest crowds. You have done certain things that are interesting motivationally to keep things loose a little bit for them. Where did you come up with that style? Who taught you that you could do a couple things like, okay, guys, it's ice cream night? I mean, things like that.
Well, it's just been a learning experience. You know, when you first get into coaching, you kind of have an idea of the way it's supposed to be, and then you kind of just realize that maybe that's you know, that it depends on who you're coaching and the circumstances, but kids are going to be at their best if they're loose and they're relaxed and they're having fun. And I mean, we do a lot of things just to get them to smile. You know, if we can get them to smile, that's exactly that's all we want.
Just one final question. Just give us an idea of the great job your staff does for you.
We have a phenomenal staff. I mean, Coach Cody and Coach Cunningham are. They're the foundation, really, and it's a team. You know, they both. I mean, Cody coaches the bottom five, and Casey coaches the top five, and I fill in where I'm needed, and that's usually not really anywhere. You know, but yeah, they're the reason that we're having the success. There's no question. I mean, they're the ones that are really in the trenches, and the assistants are everything.
He's phenomenal. I mean, again, he's done everything. And he talked about everybody else. But the motivational part, Kevin's the part that strikes me. And the interesting part was that, like anybody, you have an image of what you think the job is going to be. And he's still young. He's in his early 30s. And he's going into what will be, what, his seventh year as a head coach? That when you go in as a head coach, he had an idea of what he thought it was going to be and then suddenly realized he needed to adapt to what he was doing. And I found that to be interesting.
Yeah, I picked that out as well. And when you said, well, you know, he's trying to, he comes across as, oh, I'm still trying to figure it out. Here's the thing that that impressed me in that little short time you had with him. He comes across, when you see him on television and so forth, very intimidating. I mean, he does look very intimidating. But the voice just doesn't match. And when you said ice cream night, I'm picturing Cal Sanderson coming into the wrestling room going, guys, it's ice cream night, in a real deep, you know, intimidating voice. It's like, no, he just doesn't have that persona about him.
He did that. He did it at the NCAAs. They went out to St. Louis, and he goes, okay, hey guys, this is great. Let's have ice cream night. Ice cream night? Wrestling? Cut weight? Are you kidding me? No, because part of that is trust. You have to have great trust with your student-athletes, and he had great trust that they were ready to go. And, you know, sitting down and having ice cream night was not gonna throw him over the edge because he knew everybody. You know, guys have had no problem making weight under him. He has the guys in the right spots, the right moments, and so forth, and they're not ballooning all over the place. I remember one wrestler who won a national championship here at 118 pounds, Carl DeStefanis. He was 142 pounds a month later. Right? Well, these guys were in prime condition. He understands that, and he knew that. And so, you know, he wanted to make it loose. I mean, he walked up to Quentin Wright in the wrestling room last year when Quentin Wright was just coming off an injury and was in a slump. And he walked by and he looked. He says, Quentin Wright, national champion. At that time, at that moment, really? And guess what? He won the national championship. And Wright never forgot he said that to him in that drive. Never forgot.
You know, what he's done with the program and what he brings to the table in just who he is and his history as well. How in the world could anybody that's being recruited for wrestling not want to go to Penn State and pick somebody else? How could you possibly not want to go there?
And the next part is, again, the realization that Olympic wrestlers are older. You do not have collegiate wrestlers in Olympic wrestling. And I wanted to make that point with him, which, as you could tell, he embraced that point right away. And he said what those wrestlers did, David Taylor, Ed Ruth, Quentin Wright, Matt Brown, is now set up for 2016. That's what 2012 did for them by going to the Olympic trials in Iowa City, was set up 2016 for those four guys when they all will be, obviously, 4 years older and in the maturity phase of Olympic wrestling.
Well, and he mentioned it as well, the way the scoring changes in the Olympic wrestling, it makes it a little bit tougher to make the adjustment quickly.
Exactly. Exactly. So his program is at the highest level. A guy that now wants to take his program to that kind of level and get Penn State to the NCAAs over and over, if he can, is Patrick Chambers. And we've had Patrick on this show many a time. I had a chance to sit down with him, talk about recent recruiting, and now where he's headed as he makes over his roster.
To start transforming the roster, to get the balance on it as you form your foundation for the future here.
Well, what we're trying to do is get the best players that we can get. And regardless if that's a guard, a big, we just need to, it's not about filling the roster, it's about getting the right student athletes that can handle the curriculum here. Mm-hmm. And can handle the Big Ten, yeah, as far as athletically. So we're out there. We're working hard. It's been a great spring season as far as recruiting is concerned. Mm-hmm. My staff and I, we logged a lot of hours, mm-hmm, and logged a lot of days. Our recruiting days are done until July. But so far, you know, we're heading in the right direction. The foundation is in place. We just got to keep it going.
The next part is, in order to do this, doors have to open for you to at least get in there and then get your message, sure, out there. Have you seen the doors open the way you hoped they would?
You know, it's been hit or miss, I would say. It's some days it's open and some days it's closed. And you know what we're fighting? We're fighting history. And it's not so much the current things that are going on, it's more history. You know, we've only been to the NCAA tournament four times. And some people love to share that with me as I'm making that phone call or knocking on that door. And what I say is, this is different. We have a new attitude. We have a new foundation. We're heading in the right direction. We're going to have a great backcourt. Our staff's working hard. We're energetic. We're enthusiastic. Give us a look. Mm-hmm. And that's when the door opens. Mm-hmm. But there's other people fired up. Can't believe you came in. We appreciate you calling us. We're excited. We love Penn State. We've been following Penn State forever. And that's when you know, we're doing a great job in state with that. And that's what we got to keep doing.
When you recruit, I'm there every day, so I know it's energy, it's attitude, all those things, passion. When you recruit, can you judge that in a kid that they have that to begin with?
Well, we're looking for it. We want winners and kids that excel in the classroom. It's a tough combination, to be honest with you. But we want kids that love to play basketball, that bring a certain level of energy and enthusiasm to their game, and that it just stand out. And it might not be about scoring 20 points. You know, I keep attitude stats for these guys as well. So
I've noticed.
I want more than just guy who can get me 20. I want rebounds. I want deflections. I want dives. I want the little things in the game that make you successful, that make you a winning program. And that's why some of these kids we're recruiting are winners.
Has the caravan been a positive for you to get out there and get the message, not just about Penn State, but about Penn State basketball being on the move?
It's been awesome. Awesome. Great idea by Coach O'Brien and John and Roger. Just phenomenal. What a great experience to spend some quality time with Coach O'Brien without, mics in our face, cameras in our face, or in his face.
Yeah.
But it was great. And then getting out to Philly and the suburbs of Philly and Baltimore and D.C., that's the only trek that I was on. It was overwhelming, the crowds, the energy in the building, and the other coaches that joined us. We had a ton of fun. And, you know, I think the people out there, the alums, they're loving it.
Yeah.
You know, they had a good time, and they get to do a Q&A at the end, and there was some real passion, and that's what Penn State's all about. I mean, that's why I took the job. The passion is overwhelming right now. And Bill's message of moving on, I mean, it's phenomenal. And one department, one athletic department, and I think it's being received really well.
Well, it'll be received very well tonight because, as you know, Kevin, I'm flying to Scranton tonight with Dave Joyner, and they're expecting 1,000 people there tonight.
Well, the whole caravan has been so well received, and I think that and lots of good questions, and it's a great opportunity for all the fans to meet not only football coaches and the new football coach, but everybody in general, too. So a good way to promote Penn State athletics in general.
No question about it. Today's show being brought to you by our great friend, Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. From the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, we'll come back with the final segment after this.
May means warmer weather, the official start of the summer season, and the month that we want to see you in a Kia more than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Want to see you.
Looking for more gas mileage for those summer trips? Check out the 2012 Kia Rio LX. It gets 40 mpg and starts at only $15,975. How about the 36 mpg Kia Forte EX starting at $16,960? Sunbury Motors Kia also has the eye-catching built-in the USA Kia Optima, and it starts at $20,875. Sunbury Motors Kia has Sereno, Souls, Forte Coupes, and Sportages arriving daily. Plus, right now, there's financing as low as 1.9%. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, and Sunbury Motors Kia gives you an extra set of tires. Make May the month that we see you in a Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Final segment of the show here on WKOK. And we hope you've enjoyed the show today, hearing from Coquise Washington and Guy Gadowski, Cale Sanders, and Patrick Chambers. We, again, apologize for the fact we can't get guests on the show.
Yeah, you just didn't do well enough today. Not enough quality guests. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my apologies to each and every one of you about that. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Go online at rewfinancial.com. Again, that's Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. You can go online at rewfinancial.com or call 800-609-9484 here at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. It's interesting. Jack Ham called me up. Was it Tuesday?
I think it was Tuesday, yeah.
You know what the first thing he said to me was? Are you at the Chateau? The Sunbury Motors Studio. The Chateau is getting a rep.
And yesterday we're out on the veranda.
Of course we're on the veranda. What do you want to call it? A patio? Porch?
I was thinking patio, but veranda, it does sound classy. Almost too classy for us.
Well, for us, but not for the Susquehanna Valley Country Club.
Good point.
The Susquehanna Valley Country Club is a class place.
That's a good point.
And I'm not sure, so sure why they let us on the course, but it's still a class place, and we loved it very much, and it won't be the last time we're there. It was just very important for us to be a part of what happened yesterday. It was the 21st year of the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, the beneficiary, the YMCA. Great to meet Bonnie Wasmer yesterday, and we had a great time, despite the fact that you're gloating over your closest to the line, and you're gloating over your putt, and also reveling in your own teammates not producing at certain moments.
You make it sound so different than it actually was.
Excuse me. Would you like me to bring in
Would
you like me to bring in Mark Mahoney right now and Drew Kelly right now? They would back me up all the way.
Well, of course they would.
All right,
you paid them.
I did not pay them. Mahoney does something that's not quite Mahoney-like, who had a great day, by the way. And you're like, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I was cheering the fact that we finally got to use one of my shots.
I lose a ball. Yeah.
Now, that was cheering against you.
Oh,
yes, that was completely
cheering
totally
against
that.
You were cheering against me. Because what were you on, your eighth ball?
I had gone through a couple of sleeves by that point.
Yes, you had.
While you spent the last three holes, every time I lost one, going, I still got mine, and then followed it up
I did not say that.
And then followed it up with how many you have in your bag that you've never lost. And
you would say to me, what ball are you playing? I'd say, I'm still playing the Slazengers, the same ball I started with.
Yeah, now, that's it's the end of it. You could have said, I'm playing a Slazenger. That's it. But it's the same ball I started with. That's the part that you could have left out. That's the part that made me cheer when it went into the water.
No, they're all numbered. Okay, that's why I say it's the same ball I was playing with. So if you see like a Slazenger 1, it's not my ball. But if it's a 3, it was.
I don't know. I did see a frog floating, though, after you put it into the drink.
Unbelievable. I was just trying to identify it's the same ball because there are different Slazengers. Okay? It's all... It's the same ball I've been using.
See, but it's people like you that keep the golf industry from expanding now, because think of all the jobs that you have now not created, the jobs that have been lost because you keep playing the same ball for 18 holes.
Think about the balance you give to the group.
Think about all the jobs I created yesterday. The guys repairing the course, the guys that'll be creating, the men and women that'll be making new golf balls and new clubs. You know, I'm working for the economy here.
I didn't realize that you were the economy's MVP. Well, we had a great time today. We had a great time yesterday. We've had a lot of fun in the show this week, but you know what? There's still one more to go, and that's tomorrow. And we're looking forward to that. And we've had a lot of interesting calls this week from a lot of interesting locations this week, too. That's what struck me, is where the calls have come from.
Yesterday from Wellsboro.
Wellsboro, out of nowhere. Hey, all right, I'm loving life. Well, we're always loving life in the show. We enjoy it very, very much. Want to make sure you're a part of it. Can't wait to hear from you tomorrow. For Kevin Herr, I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us on the Steve Jones Show. News coming up at the top of the hour right here on WKOK.